It's really hard for me to believe that we are in the month of December. I have to keep telling myself that. So what I want to do is kind of get our hearts kind of prepared for Christmas, get ourselves. So I've entitled our series for the month of December just Simply Christmas. Simply Christmas. We think about Christmas, probably what we would, a lot of us, obviously, especially the younger ones, the kids would think of gifts, I would imagine. But what I want to focus on are some of the gifts that God has given us or gives us. So I want to think about that this morning, and as I get ready to do that, I remember back. And it seems like a really long time ago, I know, I confess, that when I was a little boy, that would be a chance for you to say, oh, Pastor Bill, you're still so young. You missed your chance just then, okay. When I was a young boy, I remember, one of my memories that I recall back is being in a classroom, school's getting ready to start, the first thing that we would do is they would have us stand by the desk, and we would stand with hand on heart, and we would look in the direction of the flag, and we would say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. How many remember? You have any memories like that? All right. And we call that the Pledge of Allegiance. Interesting, in the day in which we live now, that's actually those kind of honored things that we've held to through the years are somewhat being pressed against a little bit as we see a response to various situations and some, whether it's with the playing of the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. I actually read on the internet news where a young man has determined within himself to no longer pledge allegiance, and he's a 13-year-old man back on the East Coast, and I just kind of read through the reasoning of that, and it's just an interesting time in which we live. All of these kinds of things are starting to be pulled on a little bit. I pledge allegiance. How many would know this morning that God actually pledges allegiance to you and I? There is a promise, a pledge of sorts that he has given to you and to me. And as I think about that, what I believe to be true is that a promise is only as good as the one making it. Would you agree with me? A promise or a pledge is only as good. So is God trustworthy in his promise? Is he dependable? If someone makes a promise to us and they don't keep the promise, and unfortunately we have seen this through time quite often with some of our politicians, and you chuckle at that. We've almost become accustomed to hearing a variety of promises or pledges made in a campaign only to not be carried out once in office. Would you? Okay, and what does that generate within us is somewhat a sense of really skepticism or cynicism or almost really an expectation that, well, that was in the time of trying to earn the vote. Now we're going to see what really comes through. Do you ever find yourself kind of having that sort of thinking or that kind of expectation where it's almost to the point where you expect it not to happen instead of to? You'd almost be surprised if it did happen. Somewhat. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if that ever comes into play in our expectations of God and his promises. Could that ever start to come into our hearts and our minds where we would potentially maybe say a prayer and then almost be surprised if God actually answered the prayer? Have you ever had that kind of? Maybe, Oh, there's a story in the Bible when Peter, I believe it was in jail, and the church gathered to pray that he would be released. And when he was miraculously released and standing, knocking at the door, a young lady goes to look out and see who it is, and she sees Peter, and she can't believe that he's actually standing there. She shuts the door in his face and runs back and says, "You're never going to believe who's at the door. Of all things, it's the person we prayed that God would set free. He's actually standing at the door, and here he is still knocking, trying to get in." Kind of reveals sometimes the expectation. So the promise that God makes, some of the promises that God has made to us in general, these kind of what I would refer to as general promises. He's promised that he would, for example, never leave us or forsake us. Is anybody glad for that? He promises us that he will finish what he starts, that he starts faith in us and he will take it all the way through and he will finish. He's both author and finisher of our faith. Last week, we talked about his promise of coming to return and take us to heaven to be with him. It's a promise that he has for all believers. Amen? But what about the promises that he has made specifically to you? Is there a promise that God has given to you specifically that maybe you have given up on? Maybe you have come to a place through the passing of maybe years, decades, where it hasn't happened, and now it's to the point where I start to question, well, maybe either I didn't hear it right, or maybe God's just not going to do it. It's a promise that starts to lose its grip within our souls. We start to sense it slipping away from us. So I want to take us to the stories of two women today as we get our hearts kind of primed for Christmas. The story of two women's, and one of the women's is found in Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Kind of an interesting choice for me to go all the way back to Genesis as we're getting ready for a Christmas series. But this is a story. Our first woman is named Sarah. Sarah was married to a man named Abraham. Abraham was the one that God called to leave his nation, his country, and God established the chosen people of Israel through Abraham and his offspring. Well, there was a challenge. There was a problem. Here, Abraham was the father of nations, but yet he had no children because Sarah was barren. Sarah was unable to conceive and have a child. Now, there is a tendency, we're kind of jumping mid-story here, but prior to this, we actually see where Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. They tried to help God out with the promise that he made. God made a promise, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you children." And so much of a display of my splendor in your life that you're not even going to be able to, it'd be like trying to count the stars. You're not going to be able to do it of all the blessings. But it wasn't happening. Sarah was not able to have a child. And so Sarah says, which was a very traditional thing at the time, if a lady was unable to conceive herself, she would at times give her servant to the husband so that the husband could have a child through the servant. And so this was not an uncommon thing. This was something that was actually accepted at that time. And so Sarah said, "I can't conceive. I can't have a child for you. So take my servant. We're going to help God here with this promise." Can you picture with me, do you think that there have been any problems with that choice through the years? We're still experiencing in the Middle East the repercussions and the consequences of that decision, because when Abraham had a child with Sarah's servant, his name was Ishmael. And Ishmael, God said, was going to be at odds with his brothers for all the days. And that's what we see, the conflict in the Middle East to this day. Brother fighting brother, because both claiming to be, which rightfully claiming the ancestry of Abraham, but God's promise was specifically to Abraham and Sarah through a boy named Isaac. Well, the whole point of this is that at times we can really mean well, and in our thinking and in our reasoning, it can make absolute sense. But we can try to help God in something that only He said, I need to do it. I need to do it. Now let's jump into the story here in Genesis chapter 18. God shows up to Abraham and Sarah. Verse 10, the Lord said, God talking to Abraham, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. It's going to happen. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? God, you missed your chance. You should have come, God, at an earlier time when I was younger and I could have children. Now, of all times, God, you're going to come and you're going to say that I'm going to give you a child now after I'm worn out. Can anybody identify with that? Do I have any worn out people here today? All right, I understand. Worn out, now that may not only be physically. In the case of Sarah, she was referring to her physical age of being beyond the ability. Physically, she did not have the capability of doing what God was saying. Physically, it was not within the realm of possibility from a physical perspective. I think, though, as Sarah made the comment, I'm worn out, I think it could have more of an implication beyond just physical. We can get worn out mentally. We can get worn out emotionally. We can get worn out relationally. Maybe Sarah didn't have an interest in being with Abraham anymore, as in an intimate way. I don't know where they were at, but when she said, I'm worn out, I think it could have been more than just physically. Can anybody relate? She was tired. I think it was obvious to her beyond a point. Interesting, her response is that she laughed. Are you serious, God? Are you serious? Interesting, when it actually happened and they named the child the name that God told them to name him, Isaac, that name actually means laughter. Could it be that sometimes the very thing that seems absolutely impossible, the promise that God gives us that is literally beyond our capability, could it be the very thing that God wants to do to bless us and restore, take us from a state of being worn out to a state of laughter and joy? Can we believe God again that He is a God, a Father who can give us joy even in a place that we think it's just not possible? Okay, well, let's keep looking at the story here. Sarah laughs. She laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out. Then the Lord said to Abraham, well, why did Sarah laugh? Did you ever know that God actually asks the question why? Here's an example of God asking a question why. That's probably the most difficult question for you and I to ask and get an answer. Have you ever asked the question why? Why? Here's an example of God asking that question, why? Why did Sarah laugh? I mean, this is not hard for me to do. Yes, it's beyond her capability, but I'm the God of all God. I'm the God of creation. If I can create you and all the world, surely I can bless you and I can keep my promise. I'm trustworthy. Why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child? Why did she ask that? And now verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, there's the key question. There's the fundamental question that each of us have to face in our lives as it pertains to the promise that God gives to us. Is anything too hard for Him? The question is not, is it too hard for you and I? We know the answer to that question. In Sarah's case, it wasn't a matter of being too hard, it was impossible. But is it too hard for God to work beyond impossibilities and bring His promise to bear? Now, let's look forward a little bit, a couple of chapters, Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, just so that we don't leave Sarah asking questions. Let's jump forward. You see, it's so easy for us. Watch this. Watch how easy this is. It's so easy to do that. I can turn the page and I can see what's going to happen. I can look and see just a couple of chapters later, but do you realize that the turning of a page as it pertained to Sarah, she had to walk out the promise of God. She had to, it wasn't just as simple as turning a page in a Bible like it is for you and I. So picture with us the passing of time and the ability day after day to get up and have to purpose within herself to trust and believe the one who made the promise. So now we're a couple of chapters down. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Genesis 21, verse 2, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And Isaac means he laughs. Now, a similar story, I told you this morning that we're going to look at the story of two women's. Our second one is found in Luke chapter 1. You would probably suspect that the second lady that we're going to talk about is none other than Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we see this recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. I'm going to jump down to verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34, Mary says, "How can this be? This is beyond my capability. You're making a promise." Does it sound familiar to Sarah that we just read about? Here's another promise. God seems to have a habit of making promises that are beyond your capability and mine. So Mary, probably a young teenage girl, not married, not in a relationship with a man, she asks a very reasonable question. How can this be? Mary asked, "Since I am a virgin," verse 35, "the angel said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" We jump down now to verse 37. "Nothing is impossible with God." As I studied this, it's interesting to me that there was a question asked in Genesis The question that was asked in Genesis, is there anything impossible with God? That question was answered in Luke through the promise of Jesus, nothing is impossible with God. Question and answer. As I looked up this word, both of these ladies, similar situations to one perspective, but yet different in another sense. Sarah, her situation beyond the age of childbearing, married, but incapable of conceiving physically. Mary, a young teenage girl, not in relationship with a man, unable to do what God was promised to her because she didn't have the physical relationship, but yet God was able to accomplish by bringing the Holy Spirit upon her and conceiving within her the Lord Jesus. How many believe that He is born of a virgin? We need to understand and hold to that doctrinal truth. One born of a virgin, sinless. So these two ladies, similar situations, promise is made. God makes a promise. And in both situations, both women conceive and have a son based on the promise of God, as only God can do it. To conceive, as I looked up this concept in Scripture, is to actually lay hold of or to claim for oneself, to make one's own. Could you suspect with me, or would you agree with me, that God, His heart, His intent, as He makes promises to you and I, the purpose of that promise is to take hold of us, to lay hold or to lay claim on our lives? Well, it's interesting because as we look at the lineage, as Sarah and Abraham are actually blessed of the Father and they have Isaac, we see now the lineage, the descendants of Jesus Himself. You can trace it back and you can see that as God kept His promise to Sarah and Abraham through giving them Isaac, you trace it all the way through and you can see that it led to the deliverance and the provision of Christ. And so I think it's interesting. I've never saw this connection before until I started studying this and seeing the similarities of both ladies, the situation, the promises that God made, and the incapability of both, and how God had to come through and keep His promise for both of them. As I looked at this, one thing became evident to me, that if it's true that the concept of conception, to conceive, has to do with God laying hold or taking ownership of us, that would seem to indicate to me that everything that God does in our lives is relationally driven. In other words, it's not just for the sake of a promise in and of itself, but what God wants to do is to get in our lives. Now watch this. God wants to get in our lives and impregnate us with His promises. Will you bear that language this morning? Would you allow me to go? To impregnate us with His promise. Now, it's one thing for someone to read and to say what God has promised to someone else, someone that is far removed from us through hundreds and thousands of years, to read a story in the Bible as it has been recorded and see God's faithfulness to them. But sometimes there is a disconnect because of the distance of time for us to be able to really grab a hold and understand that promises for you and I are being provided for the purpose of God getting inside of us and creating His kingdom to come alive within our hearts. Oh, yes. God wants to, I believe, lay hold on us to accomplish His kingdom purposes. As we are in a covenant relationship, what does it mean to be in covenant? To stand in covenant with someone, to make a pledge. How many married people do I have here this morning? I'm so glad to see that you're still married. I saw a hesitation on some back there in the back. I don't know if I want to admit this or not. I won't say who it is, Jeremiah, but you're going to be in trouble. When you stood in front of a congregation or at an altar, you made a pledge. You entered into a covenant relationship with one another. Just like a boy, I would stand, I put my hand on my heart, I pledge allegiance. Now, you didn't stand and look at your husband or your wife, I don't think, and put your hand on your heart and say, I pledge allegiance to Jeremiah, for which he stands. Okay. But the act of pledging to one another, as witnessed by a congregation and a wedding party, you see where I'm going? It is an act of covenant. It is an act of relationship that is honored and respected both here as well as heaven. It's a relationship that we are, what we're saying is, I pledge to be committed to you. I pledge to be with you for you only. I pledge my heart, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. I pledge all my riches and the lack thereof. We say words like for better or in sickness or, oh yeah, we like the health part. We like the better part. We like the riches part. Yeah. No matter what happens, what we're saying as we stand at an altar, witnessed by friends and family, not necessarily hand on heart, but hand in hand, as we look at one another in the eye. I'll never forget, as I stood and watched my bride coming down the aisle, I was choked up, scared to death, and excited all together. And she came down. I found this out later, that as they literally stood in the doorway, her dad leaned over to her, my wife, and said, it's still not too late. Are you sure? That's an actual true story. She, arm in arm with her dad, she looked over to him and she said, yes, Dad, I'm sure. And they took a step. Thankfully, they stepped. All right. I stood about here, I had my guys by me, and I was watching the door. And she stepped through there, and everybody stood, and they turned, and they watched her, and she walked down, and the pastor, who happened to be my dad, asked the question, who gives this woman to this man? And thankfully, Ken and Karen said, yes, we do that. We give her. We're going to let her go. We're going to give her to this man and trust that he will care for her and provide and be for her what he needs to be. And she took a step from Dad. Dad gave her a kiss, goes and sits by Mom, and she comes, and I join her, and we turn arm in arm, and we step up, and we stand in front of a congregation of people back in Springfield, Missouri, in the year 1989, August 18th, and we made a pledge to one another, for better or worse, sickness or health, richer or poorer, and we're walking that out. How many know you have to walk that out? I'll never forget another thing that my father-in-law said to me before we walked down the aisle. He looked at me and he said, Bill, you think you know that you love my daughter. You think you do. But you're going to have to learn how to do that. I think he was right. We made a pledge. We entered a covenant relationship. Hand in hand, looking in the eyes, we stood on a platform, my dad here leading us in vows of pledge. Kelly's eyelash got caught in her veil. She stood there as I was saying my pledge to her, and she was going, I was trying to not laugh. My dad thought I was getting choked up with tears because of the moment. And I said later to him, I said, no, Dad, I was trying to not laugh because she was trying to get her eyelash out of her veil and she was blowing it like that. And then the cameraman was trying to come back and get the exact picture of the moment and tripped over the candelabra. Oh, yeah. Some of these moments of pledge making you remember. Well, we got through. It was a great day. And now, almost 28 years later, we're still living out those pledges that we made in Springfield, Missouri. And I have to say to you that I've not done the greatest job of upholding my pledge through the years. There's been times of disappointment that I have to take, I just point blank. There have been times that I didn't mean to disappoint, I didn't mean to all of the things, but nonetheless, disappointments and things happen, and then sometimes as the years pass, and as you get down the road a little bit, the excitement of the moment the pledge was made can start to maybe a little bit start to wear, get a little bit tired, and you look at each other, and when you get out of the bed in the morning, and the makeup's not on, and the hair's a little crooked, and you haven't brushed your teeth yet, just stay over there. So interesting, because I think it's such a shame culturally how we portray this perfect image of people where the hair's always just right. And we have mints that we take that establish a bubble of freshness around us all the time. Yeah. Do you know that it takes work to make the pledge happen? It takes hard work. Some of the work we are responsible to do, and some of the work only God can do. The challenge is knowing the difference. Would you agree? Think with me about Sarah. When God makes a pledge to us, there are some adjustments that have to be made. Anybody here that's been married, that you are married, Jeremiah, have you had to make any adjustments? Don't answer that. Your smile says it all right there. Okay. Sonia had to make adjustments. I'd say you're probably still making adjustments, aren't you? When Sarah was given this promise by the Lord, they had to do, so to speak, their part of the pledge. They had to come together. And God blessed that act of intimacy as they came together. And as then she was enabled in a miraculous way to conceive something that had not been possible up to this point, all of a sudden she realized that the kingdom of heaven had been implanted within her. Can you imagine? At an advanced age, what must the realization that, oh my, the test strip is positive. I better go back to Walmart and get another one just to make sure. Could it be? I am so old. How could this be? And sure enough, no matter how many test strips she chooses, every time it comes back positive, all of a sudden there is an anticipation. There is a sense of a stirring within. There is now a carrying of the promise of God. It is no longer an external promise. It is a promise that has come within, and it has to grow. and it has to be strengthened. It has to be nurtured. Sarah now, as she has been enabled in a miraculous way to be able to conceive a child in her old age, as the Holy Spirit, I believe, came upon her and enabled her in a supernatural way, she all of a sudden then has this period of time to carry that child within and sense the growth and the development and the strengthening of God's promise within her. She has to eat with the baby in mind. She has to function and make decisions with the child in mind. She has to go about her business and set up a nursery now with the child in mind. Should I make it blue or should I make it pink? I didn't think I'd have to do a nursery at my age. I thought that that was long gone. I didn't think, of all things, I've got to go to Walmart and buy diapers. Can you imagine Sarah standing in the checkout line with one hand diapers in this hand for baby and in this hand Bengay? Walking maybe with a cane. I'm a little achy this morning. I got up. Need a little extra Bengay down there. The baby's growing, pulling on. Oh, my goodness. Adjustments, change, transition. She was never the same from that moment on. Once heaven came and conceived within her the miracle of God's promise. Once the promise got within and conceived, and once God laid a hold of her life with such a blessing, she had to make change. She had to walk different, talk different. Can you imagine her conversations with her fellow ladies as they sat maybe and as they were knitting whatever, I don't know what the Jewish ladies, I know Dan, you can talk better about this than I can, but whatever they did and whatever they were doing, can you imagine the conversations? You're never going to guess. I'm pregnant. Shh, I'm pregnant. Months pass. All of a sudden, the evidence begins to show. I don't know why ladies do this. I never even asked my wife. But as that baby starts to grow, it seems like every lady that I've ever noticed, they always do this. I don't know. But all of a sudden, there's movement in there. I want to feel that movement. Maybe that's why. I'm sensing a change. Oh, yes. Abraham makes runs down to the 7-Eleven to get pickles and chocolate ice cream. Things are changing. Never had to go to 7-Eleven at midnight before and get pickles and ice cream of all things, but that's what Sarah's crying for. And we got to keep Mama happy because the baby's in there and I want her to be happy. So I want life to be good. I'm going to drive down and get pickles and ice cream. Yeah, things are changing. The promise got within. Interesting to me, this concept of the kingdom of God getting within us. It's very natural, but very supernatural all at the same time. Sometimes we kind of mystify or almost super spiritualize God's acts when He can take a very natural act and bless and get His promise to come within us. I want you to understand that there are so many parallels between what I'm describing spiritually into the physical realm. In other words, when God gives you a promise, you have to make yourself available to the promise. You have to allow God's promise to take ownership within your heart. Don't push it away and hold it at arm's length. Let His promise come in. Think with me about Mary, the mother of Jesus. As she heard the promise of God to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary's response to God was, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." In other words, Mary said, "Here I am, God. Let your promise come in my life as you desire. I make myself available." Step one of receiving God's promise is availability. Are you available to carry God's promise? Now, as we take that step, the act of pledging is a mutual relationship. It is a pledging, both God promising to us, pledging to us, and we are in response pledging to Him. Excuse me, just like a husband and a wife, hand in hand, looking at each other, saying, "I pledge myself to you. I make myself available to you, God. I want to carry your kingdom within." Then at some point, God begins to move and we sense a stirring within us. We sense His kingdom promise getting in there. What is the promise that God has given to you? Do you know what it is? Have you received it? Could you say to me, "Bill, I know exactly the time and the place. I know right where I was at when I heard God make this promise to me." It could be as clear to you as my description of saying on August 18th, 1989, at Park Crest Assembly in Springfield, Missouri, with my dad officiating, I made pledges to Kelly and she to me. We went into a covenant relationship. Do you have a hand? Have you made yourself available to God's promise in that kind of a way? The kingdom comes within, and we start to sense a stirring, and then we have to grow and strengthen and protect and nourish so that, so to speak, the kingdom can grow within us. Sometimes we expect, when we think in terms of God's promise, we think that, well, God made the promise, it's going to happen right now. Did you know that there could be a time period required for us to live and let the kingdom promise grow within us? Sometimes God does that so that our relationship can grow stronger and there is preparation so that when the baby is brought forth, oh, then we're ready for the work. How many have kids? How many would say that the work started when the kid showed up, huh? Oh, boy. How many would say that you've sent the kids away and they keep coming home? How many would say that once you're a parent, you're always a parent? Oh, yes. The relationship shifts and changes and the transitions happen. Kelly and I are experiencing a transition in our own family as we have our oldest out on her own and our youngest as a senior in high school. I think Gilbert and Kirsten, as they've been in transition as a family, and we've witnessed as daughters have gotten married and kids have left home, and you're one step ahead of us. You're older than we are, so you're down the road farther. Okay. We sense these transitions, and we sense these changes of seasons coming. And as God has pledged to us, sometimes the promise, it goes through various seasons of changes. Sometimes it's not so much the promise itself would change, but the seasons in which we're walking through. Sometimes the seasons begin to change, and God's faithfulness helps us to be able to continue to carry. In other words, the key thing, the thing that the enemy would try to do would be to steal, kill, and to destroy God's promise within you, and so to speak, abort the promise before it's born, to abort his promise, to have you go into a place of hopelessness, of desperation, of disbelief, that God, I thought you had your kingdom promise within me, but it's not happening, so I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to eat anymore. What would happen if a mom would say, I'm not going to feed this child. I'm not going to protect it anymore. I'm just going to act as if it's not there. But yet the kingdom promise still is true. We still carry his promise within us. We have to be able to go to full term with his promise. We have to carry his promise to the fullness of term, for in the fullness of time we will reap if we faint not. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season or the fullness of time, sometimes if God's timing is not what we think it should be, it should have already happened. Sarah said it should have already happened, but God has a timing at points when it's different than our timing. God has a timing, and he sees things from perspectives that we are not able to understand. We have to be able to take the fullness, to go the fullness of term as we carry his promise. Let us not become weary in carrying his promise. My heart for our church is that we would experience the manifest presence of Jesus. It is a kingdom promise. We have to carry that promise to the fullness of term. If we forsake that promise, we could miss, or that promise could be aborted before we have the child in our hands. Are you following me? Are you with me? Let us go. Let us be determined and to persevere, to have a tenacity, to hold to the promise of God and not allow anything or any situation or anyone to steal his promise from us, both corporately as a church and individually. Maybe some of you are holding for the salvation of a loved one and you've not seen it. Do not lose grip. Hold strong to the promise that God has given. Going to the full term, what enabled both Sarah and Mary to do this was grace and favor. We see in the stories that the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and Mary found favor with God. Did you know that God is not a respecter of persons? And if he gave grace and favor to Sarah and Mary, he will give grace and favor to you and I. He will enable us through his sufficient grace. I use that language because it was the Apostle Paul who said three times that he prayed that a thorn in the flesh would be removed, taken from his life. I don't know what that situation was, but God, in each time that Paul requested, God said, "My grace is sufficient." Sometimes God's answer to us is not the removal of a situation, but sufficient grace to go through it. We must persevere to the fullness of term and not let his promise be stolen from us because of a situation or a circumstance that's beyond our control, where we lose hope and expectation from God. He is faithful to do what he promised. And he gives us sufficient grace. Quickly here, we see in both cases, and I've already kind of referred to this, but in both ladies, they had to nurture the promise that was within them. How are you feeding God's promise that he's given to you? How are you keeping it alive? How are you nourishing it? In other words, what you listen to, what you watch, the people that you hang out with, all of this should come together to keep the kingdom promise alive within you. If you're hanging around someone who is speaking words of death and destruction, and they're trying to steal that promise from within you, then guard your heart. Did you hear that? Guard your heart and your mind. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want to encourage us this morning, as we enter into this Christmas season, I want us to ponder and to reflect on this question and the answer. It just kind of jumped out to me as I read the story of these two ladies in Genesis. As it is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the response, the answer to that question, I think, as we see it recorded in the Gospel of Luke, there is nothing impossible with God. I'm curious this morning if there is someone here where you have either given up on a promise or you're close to giving up on a promise. I'm just curious, would anybody just say, pray for me, Bill? That's me. Bill, I need help. I need that sufficient grace. I'm going to ask the praise team to join me up on the platform. And I want you to stand this morning. You've been sitting for a while. Go ahead and stand, would you, as the praise team joins me up here. Wouldn't it be awesome if this Christmas, God's promise got within? Wouldn't it be awesome if you had to, so to speak, start setting up a nursery for the promise of God? That adjustments have to be made. Whatever that promise is, have you lost hope? Have you given up? Have you gotten to a point where, like Sarah, I'm worn out? It's too late. I'm too old. That's just the time that God says, now's the time. Are you like Mary, who would say, how can this be? How can it be, God? And God said, I will come upon you and enable you to do something that is not within the realm of possibility, but all things are possible with me. Lift your hands to heaven and just pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you see those who slipped a hand up, who need sufficient grace and favor. God, I pray that the kingdom promise would get within us, that your promise, God, would lay hold of our hearts and our minds. And Father, we would not allow the promise to be stolen, killed, or destroyed, but that we would guard our hearts and we would hold fast, and that we would make a mutual pledge to you that, God, here I am, your servant, available. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me. Let the kingdom promise get on the inside of me. Father, give me grace to be able to carry your promise to the fullness of term. Help me, God, to not give up, to not quit, to not stop trust, to continue to trust you. God, let your promise start to grow within me. Let me sense the stirring, the presence of heaven literally within. I pray that, God, for everyone in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes. Lead that, would you please, the chorus that you're playing there. It's God's invitation to us. Come to me. Let's sing this and then we'll be dismissed. Go ahead and lead us, Ashley, would you? Hallelujah, God. Yes.
Come to
you are God.
Come.
lift your hearts to Him. Let Him hear this. Yes. That's what He says. God, I run to You. He says, come to me. Have Father, we do that right now in Jesus' name. We come to You, spirit, soul, and body. We put all that we are, all that we have, wins, successes, failures, challenges, all that is in life, we lay to You. We pray, God, that Your kingdom would come to bear. Get within us, Lord. Grab a hold of us from the inside out. And let Your promise take a hold and start to grow and start to move and start to strengthen. And help us, God. Give us wisdom to know how to make adjustments and how to move and take steps forward to be able to continue to nurture Your promise. I ask for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, take a moment, turn to someone next to you, give a hug away, a smile, a handshake, greet one another. Come back next Sunday. We'll see you then. God bless.